Today's episode is brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, a place to grow, connect, and serve. In-person services are back with some restrictions to help ensure everyone stays safe and healthy. For the latest, visit their website at canbyfoursquare.com.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Welcome to the Now Hear This, Canby podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Martina Baker, and this is what's happening this week in our community. Nurses at Providence St. Vincent Medical Center in Portland, one of Oregon's most profitable hospitals in recent years, have voted to authorize a strike, possibly setting the stage for the staff of Providence Willamette Falls, which serves Canby and Oregon City, to follow in their footsteps. The Wednesday night vote means it's now up to the Oregon Nurses Association's labor cabinet to decide whether to continue negotiating over a new contract for the nurses at Providence St. Vincent or to call a strike. The union is required to give Providence 10 days notice before striking, a step it has not taken yet. Union nurses picketed in front of Providence Willamette Falls Wednesday afternoon to air their own issues with Providence Health and Services in Oregon City. Labor negotiations are currently underway at both St. Vincent and Willamette Falls. The ONA, which represents nurses at both hospitals, said it was informing people about raising healthcare standards for nurses, patients, and our communities. The contract between nurses and Providence Willamette Falls and Providence St. Vincent Medical Center expired in December, according to the union. For its part, Providence Health and Services said in a statement, "It's unfortunate that this staged event is taking time and energy away from the bargaining process," according to spokesman Gary Walker. "We have had 17 negotiating sessions since September 2021, and ONA has agreed to engage a federal mediator to help build consensus to accelerate negotiations, starting with our next session on May 25th," the statement said. Wednesday's action began with a march in front of the Providence Willamette Falls Community Center and wound through downtown Oregon City to the Clackamas County Courthouse, where community leaders and nurses spoke in favor of improved conditions and compensation for frontline healthcare workers. The rally then marched back to the community center, where nurses picketed until 10 p.m. Contract negotiations between the hospitals and the Oregon Nurses Association are happening at a time when nurses are in high demand. Working conditions during the pandemic have prompted many nurses to leave the profession entirely, and the nationwide labor shortage is making it hard for employers to hire skilled employees. Pay, which is lower than what's offered at OHSU and Kaiser Permanente, time off, health benefits, and staffing coverage for nurses' meal breaks are among the issues the Oregon Nurses Association says are sticking points. ONA's nurse bargaining team at Providence St. Vincent is scheduled to meet with Providence management again for a bargaining session on May 23rd. Clackamas County Sheriff's investigators say they've seen a dramatic rise in the amount of fentanyl present in the community in 2022. "The availability of fentanyl has exploded in our community," said Captain Mark Wold, lead investigator for the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office. "In the first 2 months of 2022, the number of counterfeit pills seized by our Clackamas County Interagency Task Force increased 195% over the entire year of 2021. Captain Wold says that what makes these types of pills so dangerous is that they're made to look exactly like any prescription drug. The counterfeit pills are made to look like Vicodin, oxycodone, Xanax, and even Adderall, he said. Captain said fentanyl has become a priority for the task force, which is comprised of sheriffs, investigators, local police departments, state police, the FBI, and Homeland Security. Now, they've got their work cut out for them. In March of this year, the task force seized approximately 150,000 counterfeit fentanyl-laced pills in one bust. At the time, it was the largest fentanyl seizure in Oregon's history. Other recent large busts show there's still plenty of fentanyl out there. Of course, it's hard to tell whether it's a drop in the bucket or not, because we don't know what we don't know. But it's very prevalent, Captain Wold said. But he said through the task force, they're leveraging local, state, and federal resources to get as much of the lethal drug off the streets as they can. He said he's seen too often how someone, not realizing they were taking fentanyl, overdoses from it. Fentanyl is not a recreational drug, he said. It's too potent and it's too dangerous. And so many times people don't get a second chance with it. Oregon voters are holding onto their ballots longer this year than they have in recent primary elections. A week before the May 17th election, just over 288,000 of the state's more than 2.9 million registered voters have cast their ballots, according to the Oregon Secretary of State's office. That's a turnout rate of 9.8%. Both the number of votes cast and the turnout percentage significantly lag recent elections. By this point in 2010, 2014, and 2018, more than 300,000 people had voted and turnout ranged from 12.4% to 15%. Oregon's usually high turnout has fallen in recent years since the 2016 motor voter law began automatically registering to vote anybody getting a driver's license or otherwise interacting with the state Department of Motor Vehicles. About 800,000 net voters have been added to voter rolls since then, including many who have shown no interest in voting. Non-affiliated voters are also now the state's largest group, and most of them don't vote in primaries. Oregon's closed partisan primaries exclude anyone but registered Democrats or Republicans from voting in primaries for governor, Congress, and the legislature. In 2018, only 14% of non-affiliated voters voted in the primary, compared to 44% of Democrats and 47% of Republicans. So far this year, almost 134 Democrats and more than 93,000 Republicans have cast their ballots, compared to just over 43,000 non-affiliated voters. That amounts to 13.2% of Democrats, 12.8% of Republicans, and just 4.3% of non-affiliated voters. Recent polling in the Republican and Democratic primaries for governor showed that many voters hadn't made up their minds. Former House Speaker Tina Kotek and State Treasurer Tobias Reed are in a close race in a Democratic primary with 13 other lesser-known Democrats running, but the two have struggled to differentiate themselves and their policies. Among a crowded field of 19 Republicans, former House Minority Leader Christine Drazen and former Oregon Republican Party Chair Bob Tiernan hold slight leads in a recent poll, but more than a quarter of Republicans remained undecided in early May. Election law changes could also contribute to slower voter turnout. This is the first year that election officials will count ballots that arrive after Election Day, as long as they were postmarked on or before May 17th. In previous years, ballots needed to be at an election office or in an official drop box by 8 p.m. on election night, or they weren't counted. That meant candidates and their surrogates would push hard the week before the election to make sure voters had mailed their ballots by the Thursday before Election Day or made plans to return them to a ballot box. That messaging and urgency is missing this year. For more than a decade, much of Direct Link's energy and resources have hinged on one massive project, the upgrading of its telecommunications infrastructure from the outdated copper wiring to fiber optic cable. While perhaps conjuring to the layperson images of dietary roughage or clothing material, the term fiber in this case refers to cables made from woven strands of flexible glass, thinner than a human hair, but capable of transmitting virtually unlimited amounts of data faster than coaxial cable, satellite, and even the most advanced 4G, 5G wireless networks. In the early 2000s, DirectLink made the decision to provide fiber optic connections directly to the homes of every one of its members in its Canby and Mount Angel service area, which covers 100 square miles, and has spent the past 15 years making good on that promise. Size and capability comparison of fiber optic cable versus the outdated copper. Given that the project has taken place quite literally under the surface, the rollout has likely flown under the radar for many consumers, especially those who haven't yet seen the upgrades reach their neighborhoods. But it's hard to overstate the enormity of the task facing DirectLink engineers and its contract partners in laying miles of underground fiber optic cables to every one of its members' homes across an area roughly the size of Granada. The conditions can be particularly challenging in the rural communities surrounding Canby and Mount Angel, where the homes can be set back hundreds of feet or more from the road and be set by hills, rivers, and creeks, large trees, rock, and other natural obstacles. Despite the challenges, Eric Kaler, Director of Plant Operations for DirectLink, said the investment will be worth it, both for consumers and for the service provider itself. For me, personally, it's a satisfaction of the end result, he said. With fiber, there are no limits to what you can do, so we're truly giving members that unlimited potential of what they would like to do with the bandwidth available to them. It has literally changed lives with things like telemedicine, working from home, and being able to run their small businesses from home. Thanks to DirectLink's efforts, many of its members are ahead of the curve in access to high-speed internet. Nationwide, less than half of homes have access to fiber, compared with the more than 83% of members within DirectLink's Canby 84 square mile service area that had been converted to fiber by the end of last year, along with the 26% in the 16 square miles of Mount Angel. Its goal is to have 100% of customers connected by 2026. Cougar Country Hometown Sports Coverage is brought to you by Reif & Hunsaker PC. When you need an attorney, turn to the firm that Canby has trusted for over 50 years. Call them today at 503-266-3456. For the latest sports news, follow us on Twitter at Cougar Country OR and Instagram at Cougar Country POD. 1 week after winning their first Three Rivers League Series, the Canby Cougar baseball team one-upped themselves with a huge series sweep over the Tualatin Timberwolves this past week. The Cougars' bats finally caught fire, racking up 22 hits in three games, all wins, just 1 week after managing to scratch out two wins on a combined four hits. Six different Cougars picked up six hits in their first game of the series. Bryce Oliver got things going with a single in the first inning before Theo Netter took over. Netter got on base after being hit by a pitch, then scampered home on an error to give Canby a 1-0 lead in the first inning. Then just one inning later, the senior drove in Alex Evans and Mikey Gibson with an RBI double. He continued his hot start by reaching home on a pass ball. Canby's lead ballooned to 4-0, and the team never looked back. The Cougars scored twice more in the game, once on a Hunter Robinson sacrifice bunt and once on a Joe Brockmiller single. The Canby defense held the Tigers back, winning 6-2. The second game of the series started out with more of the same. Canby once again tallied six hits, with three of them coming in the first inning. Netter reached base with a single before scoring, thanks to a triple from Bryce Oliver. Oliver scored two at-bats later with a Kellen Oakes RBI single. That quick flurry from the Cougars marked the only runs of the game, but it would prove to be plenty. Neither team put themselves into scoring position as the pitchers took over. Jason Nofsinger and Logan Robinson gave up two hits apiece in the 2-0 win. 2 days later, Canby found themselves in their first deficit of the series. A home run by Tigers' Isaac Pfeiffer in the bottom of the fourth gave the Tigers their fifth hit of the game and a 3-1 lead. From there, though, the Cougars chipped away at that lead. It was Netter, once again, who got things going with an RBI single that drove Gibson home. Two innings later, in the top of the sixth, Netter's grounder was mishandled by the Tigers, resulting in another Gibson score. The Cougars scored their final run of the day with Brockmiller advancing home on a fielder's choice. Trailing 5-3 in the bottom of the seventh, Tualatin managed a short two-out rally attempt on the pitching Oaks, getting two runners on base and in scoring position. With the winning run at the plate, Oaks dealt nothing but strikes to win the game and sweep the series. With the win, the Cougars shot up from number 19 to number 13 in the state. After a slow start, Canby has won 5 of their last 6 games and 7 of their last 10, and have propelled themselves into home field advantage for the first round of the playoffs.
Hey, Tyler. Read any good books lately?
Yeah, actually, I'm reading a really good one right now.
Awesome. What's it about?
It's kind of complicated, but there's like these 2 kids with an absent parent, and then this mysterious stranger shows up with his sinister accomplices, and they just start wreaking havoc in their lives. I think it's like a Faustian metaphor.
Wow, that sounds really dense.
It is.
Interesting, though. Who wrote it?
You know, I think it's like a doctor. Starts with like an S or something. Sass, sos.
Tyler, are you reading The Cat in the Hat?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to. It's taken me like 2 months to get this far.
Okay. Well, hey, whatever your interest or reading level, open the world of all things books at the Book Nook in downtown Canby.
Yeah, guys, this local, independently owned and operated store is your one-stop shop for the latest releases and great deals on a huge variety of previously owned books, as well as games, art, and writing supplies and gifts.
They also do book clubs and game nights if you're looking for some fun, healthy activities right here in Canby. And hey, you know, for you, Tyler, they have a really expansive selection of children's books.
Oh, cool. Anyway, check them out on Facebook and Instagram, online at booknookcanby.com, or stop by 294 Northwest 2nd Avenue and let their friendly staff introduce you to your new favorite read. Hey, Frankie, why do you think I'd be interested in children's books?
We'll talk about it later.
Oh, okay.
This is Roz Mason, and I'm running for State Senate District 26, which now includes Canby. I know we need affordable housing, a strong local economy, and to face climate challenges of wildfire and heat waves like last year's that hit 118 in the Dalles, where I live. Climate courage also includes upsides, like becoming more energy independent using renewables and helping our district get in on innovative technology and manufacturing jobs. I'm visiting Canby and Sandy April 14th through 16th. I'd love to see you. Visit masonfororegon.com for info and to get a yard sign. Paid for by Mason for Oregon.
Right, on the Canby Conversation today, we're so excited to be talking again with Shelly and Eric Arndt of Automatic Gallery here in downtown Canby. Hey guys, how are you?
Good.
Good. Good.
It's early morning, we're just raring to go here
on this
another dreary Oregon spring Saturday. So every time I come in here, you know, just all the beautiful art and color just tucked away here. You kind of walk through that door and you're just in this new world. I really feel like, and I think you guys have heard this from other people, that you guys are one of Canby's or Canby's best kept secrets. Have you heard that from people? And do you get that sense from people?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have folks who are just walking by and or you know, been meaning to come in, and then they do, and they're always surprised. It's never what they thought it was going to be.
They will tell us, and we've heard it numerous times, that this is so much better than they expected it to be.
Yeah.
So, which is obviously a compliment.
Yeah.
but then it's, well, what do you mean?
Yeah.
but they just say that it's just, it's fantastic.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I've never heard anyone say a negative thing about the store.
Yeah.
The gallery. It's been amazing.
When we first started doing the podcast and local news, I heard from a lot of people like, which I guess was a compliment, but like, oh, it sounds so professional. Like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what image I was putting out there that they wouldn't expect that. But like,
right, it's now like,
it sounds so professional.
We're legit.
But because you guys are like established now. It's been almost a year. But there's still, like you say, like a lot of people that haven't had, you know, a chance to come in yet or haven't taken the time or still like feel like you're like the brand new thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We definitely feel like there's still potential there.
Yeah.
You know, people will find us eventually. But
yeah.
There's definitely growth, room for growth. We do have people that come down from Vancouver, and
Salem
and
Coast, Mount Hood.
Yeah, they hear about us. I don't actually know how they hear about it. They just hear about us, and they're like, "Hey, we saw you in you know, here we are. And it's like, wow, you came down from Vancouver just to come here? Like, no, it's so nice.
Remind us of your story a little bit. Got into this really from your own personal love of art. You didn't have a history of like running art galleries or things like that. So do you feel like you've really been kind of following other footsteps and kind of looking at what other people are doing or really creating your own thing here?
I can start that answer. So, I mean, we watch and see what our, you know, fellow galleries and artists and folks are doing, but
get ideas and tips.
You know, we do. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of that old adage, right? You know, beg, borrow, steal, right? Ideas or whatever, you know, just right. As you're, especially when you're new and learning. But, for us, no, we kind of see what other folks are doing and, you know, but for the most part, we're really just doing our own thing.
Yeah. I get that sense.
We always kind of feel like we've seen some other folks kind of doing similar to what we're doing, but we are always kind of just coming up with new ideas and new experiences that we want to create here in the gallery. And
right. Which I think is part of your success. I think I see with a lot of the businesses, the ones that come to town and succeed are the ones that kind of do that little bit of give and take with the community, right? Mm-hmm. It's a conversation. What does the community need? What works? What doesn't? You know, and the ones that can do that flex, I think, are the ones that are often successful.
You make a very good point, because one thing that I'm always asking the community about is what art supplies do you want to see in here? And as soon as they tell me what they want to see, I go and research to see if it's something I can even buy wholesale.
Yeah.
So if I can get it, I will.
Yeah.
So that is a good point.
Right from day one on our website, even it has a, you know, a different side to art gallery. And that was really it. That we, as tempting as it could be sometimes, and maybe kind of want to go towards the populace, no, we want to continue doing our own thing. And our, you know, fans have really responded, and the more eclectic, you know, and unusual and unique artists are really the ones that have been had the most success. So when we had this second rotation and even going into the third rotation coming up, and we continue to look for people who are really pushing the envelope and doing something different, because that's what our customers have, you know, really gravitated towards.
Yeah, I would say the response for the most part has been the people are more drawn to different. And something they've never seen before.
Right.
And that tends to be the most popular items.
Because it's that sense of discovery, right? Like, it's not, you know, I'm going to the store because I need a hammer. You know, I'm going to the hammer section.
Right.
You come in here, you don't know what you want or need until you see it. And then you realize, wow, that's amazing.
And it'll speak to you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And now we are at 53 artists in the gallery. So we really feel like from woodwork to pottery to ceramic, jewelry, paintings of all kind, photography. We really try to, you know, that eclectic, we take that as a big compliment.
And a lot of different tastes.
Like, yes. And it's, if you remember, when we opened in June of last year, we were at 34 artists. Mm. So we've brought on quite a few more for the second rotation. And I mean, who knows what the third rotation holds.
and continuing to offer really high quality or handmade creations at, you know, all different price points from, you know, $5 on up. That's, you can find something really unique and different and fun. And we have a lot more functional art, I think, now than maybe we did when we first opened.
I agree.
You know, from the woodworking and glass vases and cups and mugs and different things that we, you know, so it's not all wall art or, you know, for a bookshelf. We have
platters.
A lot of useful functional art too.
Boards.
And then the art supplies has about tripled since we first opened. That's been really popular. The community has really responded to that.
Our top five sellers for the last 4 months.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. So what kind of supplies do you have here?
So canvases, acrylic paint, watercolor paints, kind of a...
Now I have embroidery kits.
Yep. Paint by numbers, wood burning kits.
And are these people that like are established artists and they're looking for they come in here and get inspired.
Yeah. Well, yes, that is exactly it. No. I think, you know what it is. I think it's the up and coming artists. Honestly, it's the younger, you know, teenage to 20s. And even, I mean, there are obviously some probably established artists that do come in here looking for a certain brand or paint, but a lot of it is the youth coming in to get some supplies to start their own, which is, I find awesome. I find it incredible that they're, you know, that's the future, right? So maybe someday one of those, you know, younger students or that come in and grab art supplies will be in here in the gallery.
Yeah.
You know, you never know. So
I basically have things for what, 2-3 year olds on up, you know, from rock painting and then
I think it's like
little
four.
Things to a kind of teenager level to, you know, more maybe adult level. I can't draw or paint to save my life, so I'd like to. But we also have things for those like myself, you know, whether it's diamond painting kits or the mechanical kits and different things where there's no painting or drawing skills required, but you can still make a pretty cool artistic piece. And that's important
to us.
That's
why I like photography. Camera does all the work.
Right.
Right. Right.
That's the point, you push a button.
Right.
This is so difficult.
I want to ask you guys about, you know, just the experience. Obviously, there have been, you know, challenges associated with any business. Obviously, this past couple of years have been challenging for everyone. But what is it like to, you know, have created this space to be able to kind of showcase artists that you love, art that you love, and just kind of share that as your livelihood? It's got to be rewarding.
Yes. I would. Yes. It's also humbling.
Yeah.
But also it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, it's always wonderful to be part of someone who maybe have never, they never sold a piece and then they get their first sale here and I can text them or email and be like, hey, you sold your first piece. And then they're like, yay. You know,
it's,
that's exciting.
Yeah.
You know, and somebody who maybe thought that they weren't good enough to be in a gallery, now we've shown them that they are. Right. And not only that, but the community also thinks they are.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's, that's a fun.
That's the really difficult part about, you know, being an artist, right? You have to have this talent as an artist.
Yes.
And you also have to have the talent of being a salesperson, which like is a unicorn, that somebody that's really good at both of those things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. I actually admire artists that wanted, I admire all of them that wanted to sell art in here because it takes courage to put yourself out there and be exposed to the public and take that sort of criticism.
Sure.
So to have the courage to trust us to do that for them, I admire that. I'm not there yet. So for those artists that are in here and for those that are obviously future, I admire that so much.
I'd say there's only maybe, you know, when we set out, one of our big things was to really show off, you know, unknown and up-and-coming artists, but also have some more established artists in. And but you don't know how that will, you know, how the public will respond and if that will work. And to our delight, it really has. Yeah, I think we only have maybe 10, 12 of those 53 artists that are in other galleries. For the rest, were either the first gallery or the only gallery that they trust to really represent them and their work. So we feel really honored by that. And again, when you get them, you know, their first sale or just being, you know, an inspiration to, you know, little 10-year-olds that were in here the other day and, you know, just like, someday I'm going to have my work in here. Like, we would love nothing more to be here long enough to see, help develop, you know, the next wave of artists, the next generation. But, yeah, so it just, it encourages us to, we're on the right track, right? You have this grand business idea and you're going to do things differently than everyone else, but you don't know if it will work. And then when it does work like it has, it's really encouraging and motivating. You lean into it more, right? And maybe take a few more risks and push the envelope more.
Hey,
push the envelope more, And so it's really fun, So we kind of had that in mind, and going into the second rotation, the public is really informing us of what they're gravitating towards, and we keep trying to find artists and art that will appeal to those tastes.
Yeah.
So, they know that when they come here, they will find something different than what they'll find in Newburgh and McMinnville and other places, you know, the more traditional art market. So people, so they travel here because they know
and
that
I,
they're...
I do have to push back a tiny bit, Shelley, because it takes a lot of courage to do what you guys have done to dive into the business world at all, but also during a pandemic.
You're right. It does. It takes, to start a business takes a lot of courage too, right? And you're right.
Yeah.
But
I hear you though.
It was scary to open in June because of that big unknown. You know, we were just starting to have in-person gatherings again, and then we had the big spike before the holidays, and But as a whole, you know, last year was still solid, and now we're just like everyone else, you're just taking it day by day, week by week, and
fingers crossed we have a customer.
Well, now we've been able to, you know, we got the gallery side of it established and our vision really kind of crystallized, and now we've really leaned a lot more into the classes and private events.
I think we have 9 classes currently scheduled, and I'm still scheduling more all the time. People will, the public will tell me what they want, usually what they want to see or want to try, and I'll see if I can bring it in.
I mean, there's some other people offering classes, which we think is awesome. The more the merrier, but no one's really, that I've seen, is offering the variety of classes that we're offering. And you know,
I recall, and maybe this was more a sense I got, maybe not something you said, but initially coming into this business, what was a little bit of a gamble, an educated gamble, right? But that there was more kind of artists out there, artistic people, sort of hiding in the woodwork, right? Then you necessarily see that was sort of part of the fabric of the community, but just didn't have that outlet yet, and you were hoping to kind of tap into that. Mm-hmm. And I think that you've seen that bear out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't even.
We've had some people that have come in, from the community, have been here a long time, and they get pretty emotional, like that first time. You know, they're genuinely happy and. That there's,
an outlet.
Some for arts and culture, which is important to any community. For a vibrant community, you got to have good arts and cultural scene. And not that it hasn't been here before, it just had maybe kind of been dormant for a little bit.
Because when you look in the history, and we've talked about this, mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of the most iconic parts of Canby, like our gazebo in Waite Park and some of our other sculptures and things
in town. Vietnam War, memorial and those things are put together, led by the previous, Canby Arts Association. Those that came before us.
So. Right. Right.
And so there's been periods in the community where art and creativity have been a real driving force.
Right.
It's been, it's been an emotional thing for both adults and students. Some have come in here, or artists, right? And just having a place that they can go to and feel comfortable and safe.
I hear it every day, at least once. Mm. Thank you so much for being here.
That's so great.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing this here. This is just amazing. We hear it every day.
Right.
At least once.
Right.
So... which
very,
is
very rewarding.
Anyone that's ever run a small business knows, that's the stuff that really keeps you going. And you're having a not so great day or not so great week or something, it just reminds you that you're doing something important and that's bringing joy to people's lives.
Absolutely. Do you find that you obviously know so many artists now, but is there still a little bit of sense of discovery with you as well? Are you still kind of finding new things, finding new artists, finding I didn't know that
you know out there. I don't want to say that we're finding, like, we're not going out and finding them anywhere. They're actually coming to us,
right? They're like emerging.
Yes, as we thought. They're hiding in the bushes.
Right.
Yes, they are now.
Yeah.
They just have like found waiting, us. Like, living on the corner. Yes, they're out front,
more
hiding
more.
Behind the bush.
More and more.
But even for the next rotation, I've had several new artist submissions since January.
Yeah.
And honestly, the talent just keeps getting better and better. So it's pretty incredible.
Explain the rotation, what that means for folks in the number.
So the rotation is, it's a 6-month rotation. So for 6 months, we'll have the same number of artists or the same artists in the gallery. We do have pieces that we swap out. So we are out constantly changing the walls, evolving, moving things around.
Every week, really. Just keep it fresh. Yeah. There's always new things.
With
so many artists, someone's always dropping off new creations. Yeah. So there's
that too. Yeah. We get artists that drop off new inventory
every week.
So from January to the end of June is a rotation. And then the next rotation begins July 1. And that will go to the end of the year. And we will be interviewing new artists for the upcoming rotation, later part of this month and next month.
You usually start that process like 4 to 6 weeks before.
So the rotation is currently almost
almost at an end, which is sad. Because you become, you know, attached to art. It's I don't know how to explain it, but when a piece sells, you're attached to a piece and you love it because you personally love it, right. And then it goes, it leaves, and it's, you kind of feel a little sad. It's like,
it looks so good there.
Yeah, it does. Like, oh. But I know that it's obviously going to a better place, but it's but you just, it's like losing, a friend.
We keep learning as we go too. You know, sometimes there's things that just really appeal to us, but it just maybe, you know, is not finding a new home, and that's okay. Maybe, you know, pivot, try a different direction, and you know, come back to that one at a later date. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just because maybe the artist isn't back for the next rotation doesn't mean that we won't work with them again in the future. It just means we want to give someone else a chance, you know, and see what happens.
Okay, so give me your business pitch. We started out talking, you know, folks that haven't been in yet, you know, best kept secret, et cetera. What would you say to those folks that maybe haven't come in? I don't need art, or that's not, you know, my thing. Like, you've got, all kinds of different tastes and things. Like, you know, give it a shot, or how would you kind of talk to that person?
We have something for everyone. To be honest, we do. And I've, again, heard that all every day. There's something here for everyone.
It's not just like froofy, like
picture
of the flowers and like
there's pictures of flowers.
I see a couple, but it's not just that.
If that's your style, we definitely have it. But no, we have abstract, we have, you know, landscape, we have pottery, funny pottery, little faces on mugs.
It's you know, it's also supporting the local artisans. You know, those 47 of them are, you know, local, and nothing in here is made by machine. Everything is handmade, from the jewelry to everything that's on the walls and the floor. It's all handmade. So, and it's locally made. So we're really curating kind of an art market, if you will, on that side of things. But the functional art, you know, whether it's garden art or you know, things for the kitchen or the living room,
or even a greeting card,
the
garage. And you know, there's, it's funny how many times we've seen that where maybe a woman will come in and her husband hangs out outside, and then eventually he's kind of, he pops his head in because he thinks there's nothing in here for him, and then looks around, it's like, oh wow, there actually is stuff, like here for all tastes, from, you know, bikers to hunters to
we have metal art,
gearheads, and you know, and those who, you know, are really into fine art, and you know, really everything in between. So we really try to.
And if people haven't been in yet, why haven't you been in yet?
Right. I've been here a bunch of times.
I know
don't come in with that.
Right.
I'm not pointing fingers at you. But come on.
So I think that, there's, you know, we're seeing more and more, you know, 20 and 30 somethings coming in because, you know, there's maybe not a lot to do here in town for that age demographic, but we have the paint and sips, we have the classes, you know, it can be a fun date night.
Yes.
And then,
and family stuff. We've had our kids at some of the classes here.
And then also participating in the first Thursdays, but then also more, we now have developed our brochure and pricing and everything for private events and private classes. Mm-hmm. So people want to rent out our gallery, we can do that. We can serve wine, we can have food catered or not. It's all kind of a la carte. So more than just a gallery.
We're definitely more than just a gallery.
Very cool. Okay, anything else that's kind of going on, you know, currently that you want to talk about? Or
other than the 5,000 classes we have scheduled between now and mid-July.
So folks can go on the website, artomatic.com.
And you can actually shop our website now. The gallery is online.
That's awesome.
We have... I want to think we're up around 1,600 items currently on the website. There are about 3,000 in store. So I have just over half on the website.
I think it would feel really packed in, but...
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to see. I would definitely say if you're planning on coming down, at least plan to spend about an hour here.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
To see everything.
And then, yeah, it's, yeah, you would think it'd be a lot more crowded, but yeah, it's not. It's pretty open.
Yeah.
People can sign up for classes on there.
Yes. You can go to our website, artomatic2ds.com, and we have our classes on there. We even have, we kind of started a little blog. People want to follow that.
Yeah.
We have the store on there. Yeah. How to join our gallery is on there now. So if you wanted, if you're an artist and you're looking to be a part of our family, then
event space, rental, and private classes, that information's all on there as well.
Very cool. All on there.
So, yeah, we're open Wednesday to Sunday, 10 to 6. And
yeah. And fun things are happening in the summer. We're putting things together for the summer.
Yeah. Well, we'll be talking about that later.
Yes.
So thank you guys so much for taking time out today. It's always great catching up. Always great being here at the gallery.
You're welcome. Thanks, Tyler.
Hey, Frankie, I've loved working on this show with you and all, but I think it's time I go all in on becoming a full-time gamer.
Oh, yeah? That's great, but aren't you always talking about getting owned by, like, 11-year-olds in Warzone and stuff
No, 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 no. That was because my upload speeds, remember? Mm. Whenever I had to drop on someone, I would get destroyed because of the internet lag.
Right. Internet lag.
Anyway, that all changed when I switched to DirectLink. My upload speeds are way faster now, and my online rank has improved a ton. Bro, I'm gonna be Twitch famous.
I'm glad to hear it. And you know, just in case, if the whole professional gamer thing doesn't work out, it will help you with uploading files for the show.
Not a chance, my man! And hey, when I become famous and bring in the big bucks from that sweet, sweet Twitch contract, you'll be the first to hear, I told you so. I've got the skills, and now I've got the reliable internet. It's just a matter of time.
I'm rooting for you, buddy. Hey, before all that, how about you remind our listeners how they can get the best and fastest upload speeds in Canby?
Just go to directlink.coop/internet or call them at 503-266-8111, then pick the plan that's right for you. Every speed, not just their top tiers, come with unlimited data and upload speeds up to 10 times faster than other providers. Give them a call,
hey, AJ,
and just
I'm
like
your,
my
local
Twitch
Oddmos franchise owner,
I'm Mike, co-founder of Oddmos,
and we're the hosts of the Odd Pod, a podcast about
life in the pizza industry. We're gonna have on some franchisees. We're gonna have some different vendors on. We're gonna get a snapshot of what goes on behind the scenes in the pizza world.
Don't forget to tell them about the sports.
They're sports
and the crazy wacky pizza that we have every Wednesday that we create, and we also have a special guest every week as well.
And I'm Gage, Odd Pod senior sports analyst.
Gage, who gave you that title?
Me.
Oh boy. Find us on Spotify and Apple Music and the Podbean.
Beautiful. That was Riley here at Can't Be Music on the keyboard. Our first attempt at an intro was by Brian. It was so bad it drained my batteries, so we decided to try something different.
Well, you know, it was a banjo.
Yeah. The recorder was just like, I quit. Yeah. No, thank you.
So yeah, we put Riley in charge and she played a beautiful piano piece there.
Riley, a new part-time employee here at Can't Be Music?
Yeah, she's been working for a couple weeks now, or a couple months now. And she's doing a really good job, and we enjoy having her here. She's been trying out some lessons.
We've got some fun stuff coming up here for the store.
Yes, we do. So we're doing this interview today to talk about the party that we're going to have next month.
Woohoo!
Yeah. So the third Saturday of June, which is the 18th, Saturday, June 18th, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., we'll have a party out here just like we did last year. Block party with a bouncy house.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have free food, hamburgers, hot dogs, you know, soft drinks.
Yeah.
And live music performed by various people that work here and various other people.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to give away the whole lineup.
Right.
You know, because I don't know what the whole lineup
is. Right. You don't know until you see who should have left.
No, no, I'm kidding. I completely have
it. Yeah, no, it's like to a T. Yeah. Full so, set list, all planned out.
Yep, yep. It's going to be a show.
Yeah.
So
you guys have done this before.
Yeah, we did this last year, and it was a really good turnout, better than I thought. Mm-hmm. And everybody had a good time. So we'll do it again. This is the 14th year of Cambie Music. It'll only be the second year over here.
Right.
But I started it in 2008 at the old location. Mm-hmm. Started it right when the housing market crashed.
Right.
Yeah. And then I decided.
Moved over here.
And then the pandemic happened, so I'm not moving anymore.
Yes. No more big changes, please. Like,
I apologize.
Somehow it has my fault. A universal impact. Yeah, Cambie Music is at the center of the universe somehow.
They've been trying to figure it out. It's right here. It's whenever I move.
So the block party you said last year was a lot of fun. When you initially moved to this location, that was kind of your hope, was you'd be able to, you know, kind of just have fun events and host things outdoors like that.
Right. So I always envisioned the deck,
the porch parties.
And I always thought that there would just be a good thing to do, and we'd have the space finally to do it. And so we're making it happen.
Yeah, yeah. Because this famously, you know, the store was a house.
It was a house.
Over there was now Neuro, was a restaurant for a long time. This has been kind of a place for hanging out, having fun for a really long
time.
And
I never really thought about it, but one of the people that grew up in this house, he's actually a musician that still plays to this day.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And he learned how to play the piano, didn't he?
I know him as playing the mandolin.
Oh, okay.
Bill Kaiser.
Yeah. 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 Okay. So not the piano mandolin.
And then next door used to be a restaurant, and I always thought that there'd be another restaurant there, and there would be people sitting eating out on their deck.
They kind of went a different direction with that, didn't they? But I'm sure the patients and the staff love. Yeah. Yeah. Love hearing the music.
Well, it actually works out better because with a restaurant, I think we'd be fighting over parking a lot more.
That's true.
You know, there's plenty of parking to go around here now.
Yeah, yeah. So who's the grill master at these parties? Do you bring in a professional?
The grill master? Well,
don't tell me you do it.
It might be me.
Oh,
I don't know.
Okay.
Do you want to know?
You just lost all the attendees. They're like, skip it.
So last year I thought I was going to do it, and then I ended up doing a bunch of other stuff, and I wrangled my mom and my sister into it.
Okay. Anything's better than you. So
they showed up, and they're like, no. So, like,
yeah. It is daunting, right? Like, just cook up probably 800 hamburgers or...
Yeah. No, it was, I think, 200.
Okay.
200 hamburgers and hot dogs. We actually went back and bought some more. I don't know exactly how many they bought.
Yeah. I got roped into doing a barbecue one time for my church. It was a church event, and nobody wanted to do the barbecue. And I didn't know why. You know, it's just hamburgers or whatnot. And it's usually like the guys are like fighting over that job, right? It's like, I'll do it. I almost died. It was like... It wasn't that week, but like the week right before, I think, the 118 degree. It was so hot. I quickly learned why nobody else wanted to do the job. So.
Well, this is going to be in June. So last year was the first.
The 118
week.
Degrees were in June, Brian.
Was it really?
Yes, it was. So we'll see.
Well, we'll see. Yeah. With our party last year, it was like. It was raining in the morning.
Mm.
So
that's nice. Yeah.
You never know.
Cool it off. Yeah. Oregon.
Okay. What else can we talk about here? So we're going to have the party. We got lots and lots of people taking lessons. We actually have a waiting list. And so we are looking for more people to teach lessons.
Okay.
Guitar, piano, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
What about podcasting? I can't do music, but maybe if you're looking for a podcasting instructor, I could come on for that. You just think about it. You don't have to answer right now. Just think about it. Lots of lessons. Very cool. How can folks find out more about the job openings? And
well, they can come in here. They can call. I suppose they could email as well. But, I mean, we're here. I'm here all the time. You just call or come in and talk to me.
Yeah.
We'll just... see if it would be.
I know that the school is a really busy time for you guys because you do a lot of work with the local.
I want to stress one more thing about that.
Oh yeah.
So there's a lot of people that don't that are musicians that don't think that they could teach.
Oh, okay.
I was one of them.
Yeah.
Too. You know. I opened up a music store 14 years ago, and people just started asking me if I did guitar lessons, and I said yes, and the rest is history.
Yeah.
But so if you are a musician, just come in here, and if you're interested in the job, and it's not like we just throw you in with a bunch of lessons, untrained, but you'd be surprised. How different it might be than what you think.
Yeah, because it's about like having that passion, right, and just sharing it with people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so we're busy with lessons. We're busy with the schools. We do a lot of repairs and for schools, and we have a lot of band rentals for the people that are in the band programs.
Yeah.
Which is we're getting more and more into orchestral, which violins and cellos and stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What's summer like for you guys? Because you don't have the schools in session.
Well, so that's
pretty busy with kids kind of keeping their skills.
There's student-owned instruments. Those are the instruments that the kids bring.
Yeah.
And they're generally, most of those are the smaller ones.
Yeah.
But then there's school-owned instruments. And so some kids have school-owned instruments. And I mean, it can be anything, but it's definitely all the big stuff.
Yeah.
And in the summertime, when school's out, that's when we pick those up from the school and service all of those. And so we get really busy with that, even though other parts of the store might be a little bit slower because it's summertime.
Yeah.
We definitely have a lot of repairs that we're doing.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And of course, you stay busy with some of your own events, some city events that you participate in, some of your staff kind of do their own gigs.
They go out and do their own gigs and things, and we're going to do the 4th of July float.
Mm-hmm.
So last year we were in Waite Park because there was no parade.
Yeah.
And so we did that. But I really prefer to be on the float. I like that.
Do your neighbors prefer that though?
So don't 7 a.m.
sound checks like 7
a.m. sharp. I just turn it on and just let it
sound check. Yeah,
they've stopped. The neighbors have stopped coming around in their cars trying to figure out who because they know now.
Yes. Okay. Well, warning. Yeah. It's been a couple years, so maybe they've forgotten. Yeah.
They'll be reminded.
Some 911 calls. But you're looking forward to that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I really like doing that. It's fun to go around town and play music on the back of a trailer.
Yeah. Yeah. You got your set list for that?
We've been working on it. Riley, hand me that.
Do you do just one song or? I remember one year you did Party in the USA, which was amazing.
Uh-huh. So, okay. We've
what got are these options or
these are
a
options.
Set list? Okay. So, you're just going to do one. You're going to pick one?
No. So, we could just pick one, but for my own sanity, we're not going to.
Okay.
Do that. I couldn't imagine playing the same song for like an hour and a half.
Party in the USA.
So we have.
Don't Stop Believing.
But then we're looking at like Walking on Sunshine.
Mm-hmm. That's fun.
Is a big contender. I'm a big, right now.
I don't know the patrioticness of it, but I'm a big Uptown Funk fan. That just gets me going. Yeah.
So we've done that one before.
Uh-huh.
What's another one that we were thinking about? Shut Up and Dance.
Yeah.
Just fun summer songs. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't even seen said so there's
more
been
more than a feeling.
Yeah. Take on.
Oh yeah. I'd love to hear you sing that one. No.
Not me. You got the job. A better version I've never heard. Who was that redid it?
Your neighbors would definitely be calling 911. I think there's a cat that's like dying. Animal control, please. Yeah. Help.
Oh, fun fact about me. I could never do that song because I can't do falsetto.
Oh, okay. I can't do it either. I don't know what impression you just got from what I did, but that was not.
No. You can't do it well. But okay.
I don't have to take this. Come on. I'm out of here. Right. Awesome. Okay. Really some fun stuff happening here at Canby Music. Check out the website. If you have questions or want to get more information, canbymusic.com.
Yeah. So to recap, June 18th, party at the Storm. July 4th, we'll be on a float, and we are looking for more people to work and teach lessons. So if you're a musician, come seek us out.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, Brian.
Yep.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears, even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? Or no. That baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't, like, animal-related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Camby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Camby's longest-running, locally-owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yeah, heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Camby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately, like, caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Camby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Camby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net. Now Hear This Camby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Camby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Camby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Camby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.